You guys, I'm going to tell you about a guy who gets swallowed by a big fish, so you might want to stick around here. So I'm going to talk about Jonah, the book of Jonah here today. Really, the whole book can be summed up in four words, you know. God said, Jonah, go. Jonah said, no. And God says, oh. So let's just open in prayer. Father God, Lord, I just thank you for this day. Thank you for this church body, a body of brothers and sisters. You're our Savior, Lord. I pray that this message here is according to your will and your word. Father, open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds. Let the Holy Spirit guide us and prompt us, empower us with words and actions to carry out your will, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jonah, he was a prophet in the 8th century B.C. before Christ. There's really only one sentence of prophecy in the whole book. So let's, Jonah 1, verses 1 and 2 says, the word of God came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because of its wickedness. Let's talk a minute just about the great city of Nineveh. This is 800 years before Christ. There's a city. There's a street in Nineveh that was 20 miles long. It was all walled in with 100-foot-high walls. And the top of the walls were so wide that you could fit 3 chariots side by side. It's a big city. So Jonah 1:3 says, remember the word of God came to Jonah, go to the great city Nineveh and preach against it. But Jonah ran away. God told him to go somewhere and he ran away. Have any of you ever felt prompt to do something or to say something? Maybe an action or a deed, but then just think about it for a minute. Kind of ignore it and go on your own way. I'm guilty of that myself. Yeah. So in the next sentence, Jonah 1:3 reads, he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. Okay, now Nineveh, where Jonah was, Nineveh's northeast, about 500 miles. Jonah was headed 2,000 miles southwest, total opposite direction. God said, go this way, Jonah went that way. And notice he went down. He went down to Joppa. Okay, I'm going to summarize what happens between Jonah verse 3 and Jonah verse 17. So we got on a ship. He went down, running from God. He got on a ship, headed for Tarsus. God didn't like it. So he created a big storm, a mighty storm. And all the people on the ship were fearing for their life. All the sailors were crying out to their own gods. They didn't know our God. So their gods were a little g. Everyone was scared for their life. The sailors ended up casting lots, trying to find out who was responsible. Dots are like dice or something that would, okay, shake them and it fell on you. So anyway, it fell on Jonah. Jonah was responsible. That's what they figured, for God's rage. That's God with a big G. Jonah said that he worshiped the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. And he told the sailors that he was running away from that God. Well, they were pretty upset, the sailors. They tried to paddle to shore and get their ship going to shore to get out of the ocean, the storm, and it didn't happen. So they ended up throwing Jonah off the ship in the middle of the storm. So he went down again. He was in a ship. He went down to Joppa, got on a ship. Then they threw him off the ship. He went down again, hit the sea. When he hit the sea, a great fish come up and swallowed him. Down again into the fish's belly. And there he stayed in the fish's belly for 3 days, down in the deep. I know, you're thinking, yeah, right, there's no way this story's true. It's exaggerated just to get it more exciting. Well, let me ask you a question, right there, boys. Everybody here, do you believe in God? Do you believe he created the whole world, the sea, the oceans, and everything in it? I think he could keep a guy in the fish's belly for 3 days with no problem. So I believe that's true. And it's interesting, he was in the fish's belly for 3 days. Who else was kind of down for 3 days? Jesus, yeah. That's kind of neat. 800 years later. So let's go back to the story of Jonah. God said to go to the great city of Nineveh. Jonah said no, and he went down to the opposite direction. So meanwhile, Jonah was in the belly of the fish. Why didn't he go to Nineveh? God says something, I'd want to go. Let me tell you a little bit about Nineveh and its great wickedness, thanks to Google search. They were a warring and savage people. They would attack cities and towns, like us going to Natural Bridge and terrorizing it. But worse, they were known to burn children alive, capture them. They were known to skin people alive, just leave them to die. You know, archaeologists have gone over where Nineveh was. And they found monuments and stuff, remains of the city. One particular monument they found, proudly declaring their evil acts, stated, I fillet their skin and spread it on the walls. I cut off their limbs of those who rebel. I cut off their hands and feet and put out their eyes. I don't. Jonah got told to go there, and I don't. That's pretty. You wonder why he didn't go? I don't know. The book of Nahum, chapter 3, tells us more about Nineveh and the evil of Nineveh. It says it's a city of blood. And there's piles of dead bodies so high people were stumbling over their corpses. Bodies without number. And there was witchcraft, sorcery. And Jonah was a Jew, a Jewish person. And Nineveh was at war with the Jews. It's kind of like God saying to a Jewish person during World War II, go to Berlin, preach to Hitler and tell him about us Jews, the words I give you. Or it would be like going to Iran today as a Christian. Not a pretty picture. So you wonder why, what was Jonah thinking? I don't want to go. I want you to wipe them people out. Destroy them. I don't want them. Maybe he thought, there's no way I'm going. Send somebody else. You know, there's in life, there's two roads, even for us. One goes to Nineveh, the other heads down to Tarsus. One's to obey God, and one's to disobey God. And you know, God, the Holy Spirit prompts us to do things. So it's a choice whether we do what we're prompted to do, what we know that we should do, or if we don't do it. And you know the real reason why Jonah didn't go to Nineveh? He knew that if he went to Nineveh and preached the words God gave him, that God would forgive him. God would forgive those people. And he didn't want them to be forgiven. In Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, it tells us exactly that. He was angry. And he knew that if he went there, God would forgive him. So let's go back to Jonah. We left him in the belly of the great fish. A giant fish for 3 days. And we already stated that's possible, right? Okay. Can you imagine you're alive in the belly of a fish for 3 days? What would you think? Imagine you'd be talking to God and praying pretty intensely because you knew kind of why you're in the belly of that fish because you weren't doing what God asked you. Well, Jonah was there, and I'm sure he was praying very intense. And God gave him a second chance. The fish came up, spit Jonah out on the shore. God's full of second chances. For everyone. All of us here. Everyone. Well, he got spit out on shore by the fish. And he headed towards Nineveh. I imagine he was trotting or running. He just, okay, God, I'm going this time. In this particular part, he did go to Nineveh. And he preached the words. This is important. Jonah preached the words which God had led him to say. So the king of Nineveh, that great city that were killing and butchering people and everybody, had a king. And he heard the words of Jonah, which God gave him. And he repented. And he sent out a decree to the whole city, everyone under his kingdom, to repent. And they threw ashes on themselves, and they were really, at the time, it was a big repentance. Pausing here for a second. Okay. So if I back up just a minute, I want to say that again. God preached, or Jonah preached the words that God led him to say. To go back, if the Holy Spirit tells us something, you know, if we should say something or if we should do something, he'll give us the words to say. He'll provide a way. God is the way maker. He provides us. We might be nervous, but I don't know. Let me get off Jonah for a second again here. I want to tell you just a short story. It's a true story. It happened in Boston. It's about a man and a few of his friends that they went to Boston on vacation. See the sights. Well, one day they went down by it's a big giant pier in Boston. And him and his friends, and they were looking at the souvenirs and whatever, the sights around the pier. And this one guy, one of the friends, he didn't really care about the souvenir shops. He ended up walking out the pier. And the piers are really big. I don't know if you've ever been to the ocean, but they're like walking from here to Chuck's Market or farther sometimes. So anyway, the man was out there, and he tripped, fell in the water, and he couldn't swim. So he's floundering out there, splashing around for help, hollering, screaming. I guess eventually his friends heard him, but they're way back. You know, oh my God, Joe's in the water. But next to him, just a few yards away, there was a guy on the pier, stretched out, just soaking up the sun. And he, I guess after a few screams and stuff, he heard the guy screaming. And he could look down, he could see him. And he looked at him. And this guy, to find out afterward, this guy was an excellent swimmer. But he looked down and he watched the guy die. Watched the guy go under for the last time. He did nothing. By the time the friends got there running, it's from here to Chuck's, the guy was dead. You know, they jumped in to try to help him, but he was dead. He died. Anyway, the family of this dead guy tried to sue, and they did sue the guy that was just laying there soaking up the sun and watched the guy go down without even trying him to help. So it went to court, and the court ruled that guy had no obligation whatsoever to help the guy drowning. So it's not illegal to do that, but it's wrong and it's immoral. I mean, you should really, I can't imagine trying not to help someone, especially if you're a good swimmer. So, my question. Do you know anyone who might need pulling out, that might be going down? Someone who doesn't know Jesus, who hasn't accepted Jesus? Someone who's going down, and if it don't change, they're going to go all the way down, right down to hell. And the Bible tells us there's only one way for eternal life. I'm talking to you boys, what's that? Answer me, what way? How do we get forgiven? Who's responsible for it? Jesus. You got to accept Jesus as Lord. I got a question sometimes. Is your attitude like Cain? I'm not my brother's keeper. What do I care? And there's another question. What if you don't try to pull that person out that you see is in trouble? What if you just ignore them? Will we have to answer for something like that? Can you imagine? We're gone. We left our bodies. We're going in front of God. What could you say? Oh, Lord, I was busy. I couldn't help that person. I didn't like that person, Lord. I didn't like him. I wasn't going to help him. No, we were mean people, scruffy, dirty, drunks, drug addicts. There's no way I was going to even try to help them. You know, you think, what could you say? And another question, does God just love Christians? He loves everybody. He loves everybody. He loves us so much, as Marianne was saying. You know, he sent his Son, the Word of God. As the Bible tells us, everything was created by the Word of God up in heaven. John tells us that the Word of God became flesh to dwell here among us. And you think about the creator of everything, a king of heaven. He came down here not as a king to rule over us, but he came down here helpless. Just a little baby. Had parents. Took care of him. And he grew to be a man. When he was a man, he showed us how to live. He taught us how to live. He showed us compassion, forgiveness. And the king of heaven come down here and lived as a servant. To take care of people, to serve people. So much that he freely gave up his body. You know, the cross, beaten, crucified. His blood, his life. To pay for everything that we do wrong, for our sins. All we got to do is accept him. So let me go back to Jonah again. After he preached God's words to the Ninevites, he did what God said. He spoke the words God told him. Jonah went out on a big hill above Nineveh. Because remember, these people were mean, bad. And he sat there, wanted a front row seat to watch God destroy them. But God didn't destroy them. He saved them because they repented. And Jonah got mad. He says, I knew it. Like I said before, I knew, God, if I did this, you would save them. You think about what Jonah went through. He went down to the ship, down to Joppa, down to the ship, to the belly of a fish, down in the deep. And he repented. And God raised him. He did what God asked him to do. And thousands of people were saved. They got a second chance. And God provides a way to do that. You know, Jonah's not the only one in the Bible who had to go down several times before he repented. Think about this guy. King David. Remember when he was a teenager, saying David had the slingshot, killed the giant? King of Israel? He was watching some girl sunbathing from his castle. He went down. He invited her to his castle. Went down a little farther. The next step, he went down a little farther. He went down so far as to have that woman's husband murdered because he wanted that woman. But David repented. This is the same King David who years later, down through his bloodline, Mary was born. As we know her, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is from the bloodline. Joseph, possibly, too. I don't know. So it don't matter how far you go down. You can go way down. But if you ask God to forgive you, he gives you second chances. And you know, going through life, the devil will always open a door for you to go through. This is the easy way. Go over here. He'll open the door to the wrong direction anytime. You know, maybe some of us here hasn't been listening to the Holy Spirit. You know, maybe we're like the prodigal son. We're just here. We're doing our part. Sitting around, kind of half-heartedly. But really, our heart isn't in the right place. So I got a question. And for everybody here. If Jesus asked you to do something, not ask. If Jesus commanded you to do something, would you do it? Raise hands. Would you do it? If Jesus commanded you to do something, would you? There you go. Jesus' last command while he was on earth, before he died, after he was crucified and rose from the dead. This is red letters. This is Jesus speaking. Some of his last words while he was here on earth. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. You notice Jesus didn't say, all the world should go to church. But he did say that the church should go to all the world. So what's the church? What's the church? We're the church. We are the church. If you believe in Jesus, we're the church. This is just a building. So, we all live in this world. God said to go into all the world. You know, but we also have our own little worlds. Our own little sphere of influence. Our families, friends, neighbors. It's a small town. People you know. You don't have to travel around the world to do it. I believe everybody here can think of someone who might need to be saved that isn't saved. Even if, you know, to go out to all the world, to go out to the people with bad habits, the less desirables, those are the people who need it. That's why they're having their problems. They're all people that God loves. And He doesn't want any of us to perish. And the Bible also tells us if they don't hear and believe in Jesus, if they don't hear the gospel, they don't accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're already condemned. You might say, well, that person, you hear it too a lot. Oh, he was a good person. He's in a better spot. Did he know God? You're kind of hoping he did. But if he didn't know Jesus and accept him, you're not in a better spot. And Jesus said to love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. You know, our God is a forgiving God. And He's a God of second chances. And He will provide a way. Let's open our ears and listen to Him. And obey Him. So I just want to close in prayer. Father God, pray for all of us here today. Pray that Your Holy Spirit guides us. Give us strength. Give us words. Give us the boldness to go into our little parts of the world. Let others see the love of Jesus shine through us in our actions, in the way we talk, in our deeds. Let's tell others how Jesus has affected our lives. How we can relate to their life, maybe from something that happened to us. Lord, stop us from being a Jonah and running away from Your commands. Enable us to be like Paul, sharing the gospel with all kinds of people. Father, create in us a burning desire. A desire without fear and without embarrassment to engage other people. To tell them the gospel, to tell them about Jesus, so they can learn about Him and accept Him. And they can receive eternal life as we have. And Father, I especially thank You for being right here. Your word says You're with us. You're always with us. Just thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.